Blog Talk Radio.
Off the wide receiver portion of the Best of the Best series by taking a look at the Red Division wide receivers. I'm your host, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, Rick Goreski, and joining me once again is my co-host on these Best of the Best shows. He's a man so knowledgeable in fantasy football that he is world famous in certain parts of Wisconsin. Please welcome the owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Mr. Steve Wellman.
Good evening.
Well,
I like
then.
That one.
Welcome back to the doghouse, my brother from another mother.
Good to be here. Good to be here.
Laying on the flavor tonight. Well, hey, before we dive in, why don't I go ahead and recap what we're doing here and remind the audience of our ground rules. We're taking the rosters today. We realize guys are going to make moves. Some of them are going to change who we think has the best down the road, but for today, we're just looking at what's on each team. Cap numbers and contracts don't matter. It's all about the quality and depth of the players at each position. Second, it's all based on opinion. We're going to be like Jesse Ventura. We're just going to tell it like it is. We're going to call it like we see him. If there's cheating and we like the guy, we're going to look the other way. That's just the way it goes. It's meant to be fun, so if your feelings are hurt, find a therapist. See you. We're going to tackle those wide receivers in the Red Division today. Part three of this.
Yeah.
Part three. What the hell kind of note is? Oh, part three focused on the Blue Division. Part four. I was like, why am I talking about part three? I had a note to myself here about part three. I wanted to remind the audience, in case they just jumped into this one, that we split wide receivers into three episodes. Part three of the Best of the Best series focused on the Blue Division wide receivers. Part four was the White Division. And here in this podcast, part five, we're going to focus on the Red Division. So that's the fine print. Let's rock the red, man.
Giddy up.
I can't help but I just keep getting in my head, so I got to throw it out there. The whole Ace Ventura line when he's down in like the underground room and he's knocking and they ask him for the password. New England clam chowder. Is that the white or the red? Can never remember that one. So why don't I go ahead and walk through the defensive backs in the red division. So excuse me, the wide
receivers
in the red division so that we can get the show on the road. Marauding Minotaurs. They wide receivers. Tavon Austin. Former number one pick in Mad Dog, by the way. Malicious Minds released him last year, and the Marauding Minotaurs claimed him. Dez Bryant, Michael Floyd, the injured Michael Floyd wide receiver from Arizona. Devin Funchess, T.Y. Hilton, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Scott Phillips' team, show me your TDs. That's Sporting Randall Cobb, looking very good today. A.J. Green of Cincinnati. Alston Jeffrey. It's Alston Jeffrey, I guess. I always called him Alston. Allen Robinson of the Jaguars. Steve Smith, formerly of the Carolina Panthers, now residing with the Baltimore Ravens. Kendall Wright, Tennessee. And then we move over to Dream Team. Dream Team has John Brown from Arizona. Philip Dorsett from Indianapolis. Julio Jones. Demaryius Thomas. And on the injured/suspended list, the very talented Justin Blackmon. We move over to Crazy 7, my team. Martavius Bryant, Amari Cooper, Julian Edelman, and Paul Richardson, second-year player from Seattle. So those are the wide receivers in the red. How do you see it? How do you see the red, Steve? Why don't you kick us off?
Well, I got to go number one, probably show me your TDs. He's definitely got a stable.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me for a minute there.
What happens off the radio stays off the radio. Like I was saying, he's got the definite win now powerhouse stable of wide receivers. Obviously, he's got Steve Smith and Alshon Jeffrey and A.J. Green, who have just been doing it year in and year out. Randall Cobb's going to get the more exposure with the injury to Jordy Nelson, and Allen Robinson, you know, if he can just get it together. He's young, though. You know, we talked last night about there being a couple of years that receivers need to get sometimes get into the NFL game. So I look for him to do good things. Kendall Wright, you know, we talked about this also last night about the Tennessee wide receivers where it just seems like nobody's there to step up. But if you're going to have one, it's either him or Hunter, right? So,
well, you can bet on him. I mean, last year, didn't he have, like, 2 years ago, 94 catches. I mean, last year was abysmal with the quarterback play. I can't pin that on him. The fact that he came out with 57 catches and 750 yards and six touchdowns last year, 715 yards and six touchdowns on that offense, that was incredible.
Yeah, but I don't expect Marcus Mariota to be lighting up the skies either. So, you know, in my personal opinion, the Tennessee wide receivers are probably going to have a bit of a down year this year, but it is dynasty football, so we'll see what happens in the near future.
But at least you've got a guy who, you know, if you look back to last year, Jake Locker starting the season, who is now retired. So, I mean, you talk about, does he want to be there? Does he have the heart and desire to play? Yeah, that you can check the yes box next to Mariota. He'll actually throw that ball. Mecklenburg is a guy who, too, they say is going to get in there, and that would help Kendall Wright. That would help all their wide receivers, because I think Mariota might be a guy who's best to sit a year or two and then get his opportunity. But, you know, when I think they're going to put him in right away.
That seems to be the talk of the town. They're you know, they use their second pick on him, and they're going to feed him to the lions, if you will. I mean, there are too many rookie quarterbacks who, you know, outside of Andrew Luck, you know, there's a lot of rookie quarterbacks who just don't emerge as superstar passers in the league. So I'm not saying close the book on Kendall Wright. I'm just saying that this year I wouldn't expect, you know, much more than he got last year.
No, I'm with you. And the comment, Wisenhunt is, you know, on the hot seat. So that's why I think they're going to go with the guy with the more potential in Mariota. So if I could jump in and throw out my two cents worth, I agree with you as far as number one is Scott Phillips' team, show me your TDs. I think Scott's, frankly, my second favorite wide receivers in the league here, arguably up with Ipswich for that number two spot in the league. Right behind both of them, behind Tim Sever for me, lost in the sauce. Scott Boast, Randall Cobb of the Packers, A.J. Green of the Bengals, Jeffrey from the Bears. He's got the old Wiley vet, Steve Smith, a couple of young budding stars, Allen Robinson, Kendall Wright. They're still young. Proven ability, top five to top ten wide receivers. He's got youth, just a good stable of wide receivers. And I think it's important for us to tip our hat to the former owner of the TD's franchise, Sean Van Hammert. Rest in peace, mm-hmm. Sean. Back when Sean had the team, it was Anders Giesch, and Sean helped assemble this wide receiver squad. It was kind of amazing as I reviewed for this, and you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday in preparation for this episode. I mean, Sean won A.J. Green in the startup auction, and he drafted Alston Jeffrey and Kendall Wright back in our first rookie draft in 2012. He picked up Russell Wilson in the fourth round, by the way. I went back and looked at that, too. But I think you had a comment about how I know you originally had Randall Cobb years ago, and there's a connection to Sean there, too. So why don't you share?
Well, you know, kind of being inexperienced, you know, this was my first actual full-on dynasty league, and I didn't understand the concept of, especially the type of receiver that Randall Cobb was, that it was going to take him a few years to break out. So I was kind of getting frustrated the first couple of years of his career, and I thought that Roy Helu was going to be the man in Washington. And so I traded him, Randall Cobb, for Roy Helu. And, well, the rest is history, isn't it?
Well, at the very least, they both had four-letter last names. So it kind of fits into what you're probably thinking right now.
No.
Four-letter words that are probably coming to mind for you.
Yeah, it was a learning experience. And like I said, it taught me that, you know, wide receivers can take a few years to get going. So don't throw them out, especially the younger ones. Don't throw them out. You know, if you have the opportunity, keep them around for a while.
So where do you put TDs up there in your top three for the league?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I mean, and as far as, like I said, he's got the win now combination. The only reason that I put Ipswich up above is because he has that long term. You know, he's not going to have to worry about a wide receiver for a decade. I mean, Steve Smith is going, you know, he's getting older. A.J. Green, even though he's not old, he's just, I don't know what's going on down there in Cincinnati. So, anyways, I don't want to take up all the time on that. Move on to number two.
Yeah, why don't you throw out your second place team in the Red Division?
For them, I'm going with the Marauding Minotaurs. T.Y. Hilton and Dez Bryant, that's just, you know, everybody's dream. Michael Floyd, I know he's injured now, but, you know, he looks to be the number two guy next to Fitzgerald in Arizona. And he's got Funchess, who they're looking for him to step up, and I don't see why he can't. I mean, he's, you know, especially with Kelvin Benjamin down, you know, you hope that he can kind of fill some of that spot. And being as big as he is, you'd expect him to get at least the targets. Unfortunately, he does have Tavon Austin, who's never emerged to do anything, and Cordell Patterson is trying to do everything he possibly can to be out of the NFL. So
he put a second-round pick on Patterson. Don't tell him that.
Yeah. He just he's just not – he's not getting it. The reports I'm getting is that, you know, he shows these flashes of brilliance and then just does stupid stuff, runs wrong patterns, lines up in the wrong spot. You know, you can almost count on – you can count on illegal formation at least one time if Patterson is out on the field, because he's just – he doesn't get it. I don't know what his deal is. He just doesn't get it. But he could get you some points from returning a kick or a punt, so I guess he's not a total loss.
Well, I've got the Marauding Minotaurs third in my list for this division, because second place to me, and arguably my third or fourth best overall in the league, goes to Matt Blankenberg's dream team. I mean, you want to talk about star power. You're looking at Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones to start that list. You toss in John Brown, who I'm really high on this year in Arizona. You're taking a look at a rookie in Philip Dorsett in Indianapolis, a young guy, finishing it off with a guy who I think is a top five talent in the NFL, Justin Blackmon. And I grant you that Blackmon's personal situation has completely derailed his professional career, but just from the little bit we did see, this guy would be amongst, and I mean this guy would be amongst the top three wide receivers in the game today if he were active. And until the NFL bans him, it's still possible that Blackmon will play again, and if he does, look out. I really think that highly of Blackman's talent, and I just, you hate seeing it. How many times do we have this conversation, all of us, the guys listening and us and the ladies if they're listening, there are just certain players that they have all the talent in the world, and they're just their own worst enemy. They can't beat their demons.
Yeah, but you know, the problem there is it appears to me that Jacksonville is basically moving on without him. I mean, you look at their four deep. You got Hearns, you got Allen Robinson, you got Marquise Lee. I know he has problems staying healthy, but if he, you know, he has as much chances as producing in the NFL as Blackmon does, and Rashad Green, who ought to do pretty well. But then also they went out and got Julian Thomas to go along with Mercedes Lewis. You know, they've got T.Y. Yeldon now, who's a decent back, and Denard Robinson, who can also catch out of the backfield. So, you know, even if Blackman winds up getting back in, you know, I don't think he instantly goes to the top of the list. He might, his best bet might be to get picked up by another team.
Well, I was just going to say, I as far as Blackman and Jacksonville, I do understand that they feel he's done there. But I got two words for you, and it's not a DX reference. Chris Carter. Chris Carter, if I'm not mistaken, was almost out of the league when the Eagles dumped him, and the Vikings picked him up and helped him rehabilitate his career. And look at what he turned into. If Blackman could just mature and beat these demons, whatever hold the alcohol and drug stuff, whatever it is he's into, has over him, I personally think that talent that he has is top three, and it won't take long for that to come out. I think somebody else would take a shot at it.
Yeah, you'd like to think that, but in all reality, while there's the Chris Carter in the NFL, there is dozens of guys who just don't make it, who don't get through it. There's that kid out in San Francisco a couple of years ago who was supposed to be the next coming of Jerry Rice, and he couldn't make it there. He went to Kansas City, got dumped. I don't even know if he's in the NFL anymore. Jenkins, right? Is that his name?
Yeah. His name was Jenkins. Yeah, I didn't know if there was a different guy you were talking about.
No, that was the kid, and you know he had all the age. Yeah, and he had all the tools and all the physical attributes, but you know he just didn't get it. Almost like Cordell. There's another one, Cordell Peterson. Or Patterson, you know, if he gets dumped by the Vikings and he moves on, is there a chance he succeeds? Sure, but, you know, Chris Carter is one of those once-in-a-lifetime kind of deals. So
are you rubbing that A.J. Jenkins thing in? Did you know I drafted him in our first ever draft?
No, I didn't.
I was way high on that guy. I was absolutely high. I was convinced. I loved what I saw of him in college. And moving on. I got to throw this out. My third, as I mentioned in the Red Division, is Brian Koch's Marauding Minotaurs. That squad led by Dez Bryant is, you know, Dez is a fantasy stud, top three wide receiver in the league. T.Y. Hilton of the Colts, very wily move by Brian to trade for Hilton before that star really rose. Hilton's entrenched as the number one and wide receiver on Indy's high-octane offense. And I think I've said high-octane offense on almost every podcast we've done in this Best of the Best series, and frankly, because it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah,
just try it.
And usually when you refer to the Indianapolis one, high-octane jet fuel, almost like jet fuel.
I just want you to try it. Just say it at home if you're listening along. High-octane offense.
High-octane offense. Gotcha. Awesome. Doesn't apply on defense, though. You just can't say high-octane defense.
What's that?
So I was just trying to see if you could say the same thing about defense, but no, it doesn't carry the same weight. I agree.
We'll think of one when we get on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Behind Brian's top two, though, are several guys with massive potential in my book. You've got Michael Floyd, who, until his injury this preseason, I was really high on him in Arizona. I don't think the book is done being written on Floyd. Very talented, and frankly, when Carson Palmer was in the lineup last year, he looked great. And I know this because I had Larry Fitzgerald, and I was suffering watching Floyd and Brown take all the targets as I once again swoop in on a veteran who has done great every single year until I take him in a redraft league. Then there's Cordarrelle Patterson, as you mentioned, of Minnesota. Patterson, to me, is a guy who, if you watch him run, get him the ball in some space, and he looks like Sterling Sharp to me. I literally have visions of Sterling Sharp when I see that guy run. So I think the talent's there. I just don't think mentally, and they said this coming out of college, he was a teammate of Justin Hunter, if I'm not mistaken. And there were just some issues with those guys, their practice habits, their game preparation, and it's showing at the NFL level. And that's, to your point, why he's not advancing beyond this. But athletically, I see that guy run, and I think Sterling Sharp. So I think Brian investing that second round pick on him this year from Scott from the TD is, you know, it's a swing for the fence kind of move. And then Tavon Austin, former high draft pick of the Rams, former number one overall pick in Mad Dog. He's yet to fulfill his playmaker potential, but, you know, Foles is there this year. You got Gurley. Maybe there will be enough. It's kind of a, I guess it's a wasted pick when you're thinking up ways for everybody else to be covered so that this guy could possibly get the ball and run open. Or
well,
so
you know,
return some punts.
you know what the problem is? He's only 5'8". You know what I'm telling you? Any receiver under 6 feet tall, you're taking a risk. You
well,
know,
and then you've
I
got...
mean,
you're correct.
Linebackers are over 6 feet tall now, so those guys get lost. Those guys, if they get more than 5 or 6 yards down the field, they get lost out there, and you'd be lucky to find a quarterback that can find them.
Well, I think Steve Smith might be the exception to the rule. He's 5'9", 185, but Austin, I'm going to quick click on his name. He might be shorter than that. Yeah, he's 5'8".
Yeah, he's a little guy. Mm-hmm.
And then the last guy, he's got Devin Funchess. He drafted him this year, Brian did. Big potential, especially with Benjamin's injury. Funchess could, you know, who knows, maybe he'll get 1,000 this year and become the next stud receiver down in Carolina, which would potentially be the first stud wide receiver since they haven't
the
had one.
The only one.
Steve Smith was even drowning there before he left. But who's your last place team in the red? Can I guess?
Yeah.
There's only four.
Yeah, I'm going to have
drum
to put crazy seven down there. Yeah. Yeah, you're a little thin there, but you know, you do have quite the amazing stable of running backs, so I don't think you're going to be short of offensive starters. Julian Edelman obviously just year after year puts up the stats with Tom Brady throwing him the ball. Amari Cooper's looking pretty good, so that's a pretty good draft pick you took there. I'm not sure how you wound up getting him and Todd Gurley. I have to look into that. And T.J. Yeldon, but regardless. And, you know, it's a battle for the – yeah. it's definitely going to be a battle between Bryant and Marcus Wheaton – to see who gets the number two spot. But, you know, the beauty is with the way that the NFL is gone, number three slot receivers, they still can get you some pretty big numbers, some pretty good numbers.
They will on Pittsburgh, that's for sure. They definitely will on Pittsburgh. So what can I say? Some guys are lucky at gathering wide receivers. Others are lucky in love. So very happily married. I took love. You guys can have the wideouts. Now, you know, last place I agree is my own team, Crazy Seven in the red. And I have good wide receivers, but the other teams in the division just have more. And I've tended to put more emphasis on the running backs on my team, which is why my wide receiver cupboard isn't as stocked as it could be. And with that said, I do have a few pieces, including the gem, Amari Cooper, that I went out of my way to trade for this, you know, trade for that number one pick this year to pick up. I think the guy's going to be a stud. I can't wait. I'm so excited to have him on my team. I've got Bryant from the Steelers, who we talked about, who's got a great deal of potential, and he demonstrated some big playability last season. Pittsburgh's going to throw the ball all over the field this year. Whether he's the two or the three, I think he's going to get – I think he'll be starter worthy if I need a guy to put in there. And then I've got the sure-handed Julian Edelman from the Patriots. Got the youngster from Seattle that I was a big believer in prior to his knee injury, Paul Richardson. Richardson suffered that knee injury, I think, in the playoffs last year, and it may keep him from fulfilling his potential. You may see me over the course of the next year or into 2016 end up dropping him, but I'm going to hold on right now because he had great potential prior to that injury. He looked like he was going to be something special. So no idea if he can return to form, but if he does, my squad might climb a little closer up, you know, up the rankings here.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wonder about Seattle's offense. I mean, other than Marshawn Lynch, they don't seem to have a wide receiver that ever really stood out. You know, Golden Tate was there, and he did good there, but he certainly isn't doing like he's doing in Detroit. You know, they have Baldwin there.
He never leaves and craps football.
Yes, indeed, please. We're gonna have to cut you off on some of those one of these days. But anyway,
just stop mentioning Baldwin's name. So I'm just gonna keep doing the line. It's all I can see.
But yeah, you know, so I'm not real high on anybody in the wide receiver core in Seattle. They just don't. I mean, they're gonna get points. Sure, they're gonna get you 130 to 150 points a year. But there just doesn't seem to be anybody that's is a go-to guy. And I think that's kind of reflective of the way that they run their offense. I mean, all roads in their offense go through the Skittles machine. And, you know, half the time, Russell Wilson takes off the ball anyways.
Well, so, that's why Richardson was so intriguing, though, is because Richardson was that stretch-the-field guy that they haven't had. He was a guy who could fly in a deep ball threat, and when Marshawn Lynch is running that ball and toting that rock and that defense starts to creep up and you have a guy like Richardson, again, pre-injury, who could break that open and go over the top, that's great. You know, and that's why teams that run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, and next thing you know, you play action and you wing it. That's fantastic. It you know, could have worked.
Yeah, but see, that's
the will.
But see, that seems to be the anomaly. They just keep unless it's the last play of the Super Bowl, they'll just give that ball to Marshawn Lynch and just say, "Go ahead and stop me." And,
or they
and
might pass
did.
It. Or they might pass it.
Yeah, only if the Super Bowl is on the line. Do they for some reason find a reason to not use Marshawn Lynch? Which, you know, that we could do a whole other show on that.
Yeah, well, speaking of our show, about 3 minutes left, let's talk big picture here. We've gone through each division. Who are your tops? I had Lost in the Sauce, Ipswich and Show Me Your TDs, and then Dream Team. Those are my big four at wide receiver.
Right, and I think the only thing we disagreed with is that the only reason I put Ipswich up on top is because I think he's got potential for a good stable for a longer period of time. I know you kind of mentioned that contracts don't matter, but sometimes when I look at the ratings,
dude, are you
or
breaking
how I rank
the rules?
These,
I've read those rules every single episode. You're breaking
I'm
the ground.
I'm stretching
rules.
Them.
Did
I'm
you not hear them?
I'm bending it. I'm not
memo.
Breaking.
You need your TPS report, man.
Where's my stapler? So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Obviously, the four teams that we mentioned have great wide receiver cores, and it's very tough to say which one is better. I mean, and personally, I'd be happy with any of them. But, you know, it's the minor things. It's an opinion, like you said, and so I would put Ipswich, and then I'd put Lost in the Sauce, and then I'd put Dream Team, probably in that order.
Well, the big takeaway that I had from going through the wideouts, especially in detail like we did, the one thing that I learned, that you always see the rosters, you look at who's got what, looking back at in time and seeing all those players that Sean assembled, that Scott's still, you know, smart enough to keep him on his team, and that was incredible. I mean, he won A.J. Green at the auction. He drafts Kendall Wright and Alston Jeffrey. He makes a trade to pick up Cobb, and that's one of the best wide receiver cores in the league. And we drafted we auctioned in 2011 and drafted in mid-2012. So you're talking mm-hmm. several years ago, and that's really turned out. So that's a big takeaway for me. But any minute left,
some people
man.
Went that direction. Yeah, well, some people went that direction. Yeah, I could turn that around and say, look at what you've done with your running back crew. You assembled quite the crew there, trading up to get Charles, getting Lynch, getting Adrian Peterson, and then being able to draft Gurley and Yeldon. I mean, you don't have to worry about running backs until 2025. You know,
if I could only move the championship game to, like, week 15, I think I would feel great.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, my takeaway is that you definitely see different philosophies of different owners who put more emphasis in one position than another.
Okay.
You know,
10 seconds left, Steve. I'm going to have to cut in on you.
Yep.
That's going to Part 5 in the wide receiver section of the best series. I want to say thank you again to Mr. Steve Wellman for joining me.
Thank you.
Look for Part 6 coming soon to an electronic device towards you, defensive linemen and defensive backs. Until then, and on behalf of my co-host today, I am Rick Goreski saying thank you for joining me on another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Wrap it up with Wild Thing, The Runaways.
Mm-hmm. Fucking song.